Hare Krishna. We affectionately welcome you to this last of our sessions. Taking the retreat home is a session where we want to close or complete our Eastern retreat. First with some messages from the teachers. We will start with His Holiness Keshava Maharaj. And then move in the line. and then we will also have a part of the session where we address any remaining questions. I request you to be really focused in this because what is created is always a product between speakers and audience, and some hold that the audience and their eagerness is even more important than the speakers, some say. Let us start with His Holiness Keshava Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So it was a real joy to be here over the last few days, tiring also, but enlivening so much more so. Actually, I was thinking I came to Goloka Dham from Sri Vrindavan Dham. We had taken 70 or 80 devotees to Sri Vrindavan Dham, so we were traveling to different places. And of course, going to Vrindavan is not just going to another country, but it's entering into another reality. And so every time we go to Sri Vrindavan Dham, it's such a heart-touching experience. But then there's the moment when you have to leave. And that weighs very, very heavily on the heart. So I was leaving Sri Vrindavan Dham, and naturally some feelings were there in the heart. But then I came here and it was almost like entering Vrindavan again. I was thinking actually when you go to Vrindavan and do Vrindavan Parikrama according to some traditions in Vrindavan, the first place you should visit is actually Madan Mohan Temple. Because it said that just as Madan Mohan Temple is on Dwadasaditya Til, the hill where the one sun turned into 12 and Krishna was lying down on that hill warming his body after jumping into the Yamuna and subduing the Kaliya demon, it said that the pilgrim goes first to the Madan Mohan temple for different reasons, but one of the reasons is so that their bhajan may be 12 times as more intense while they're in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So I was thought it was very fitting. I left Sri Vrindavan Dham, came to new Goloka Dham, and first had the darshan of Madan Mohan. And I think all of you really create the atmosphere here. It was so beautiful how in Hari Parshad Prabhu's lecture, he always began by glorifying the audience. And it really helped me to also appreciate how much all of you actually create the devotional energy here, your eagerness to listen, your sincerity to really know, and your desire to really dive deeper in Krishna consciousness is what triggers the speakers. And then of course our speakers really took us to Sri Vrindavan Dham. I always think of Sachinandan Maharaj like a conductor. He's able to bring everyone in and introduce all the elements, and really always masterfully create a beautiful program and just a beautiful atmosphere, and then of course bring his own heart, his own presence. Thank you, Maharaj. It just, you are the heart of the retreat, I think. Everyone would agree with me. Maharaj is the heart and soul. And I think while Maharaj is with us, it will be beating strong. So actually, 70% of why I come is just to be with Sachinandra Maharaj. Actually, I have to be honest. And of course, to be with all of you. And then of course, Hari Parshad Prabhu. I was just reflecting so much on what he was speaking, and I felt deeply within my heart that we're so fortunate that we have a personality like him in our movement. It's really he is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give something very, very special. And we hear about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We hear about the sweetness of what he was relishing, the poetry of our acharyas, and we hear all of it glorified. But then to have a personality who's so learned in those teachings, but also so devotionally rooted, and also someone who has such impeccable character and humility, to be able to hear from such a person, this perhaps you can travel the world and not encounter individuals like this. And we're so fortunate that by Sachinanda Maharaj's mystic potency, he's attracted Hari Parshad Prabhu here. And now, Hari Parshad Prabhu, you will have to be here every year, I think. So, Maharaj very kindly said, I'm a professor of bhakti, but when I hear Hari Parshad Prabhu, I'm like, I gotta go back to primary school. Oh my God. What have I been doing all my whole life, you know? So we go away from the retreat with so much inspiration to dive deeply into the treasure house of literature that we've received. And through this literature, through this Harikatha, through Harinam, to really enter into this reality, Sachinanda Maharaj was explaining that in these few days we get a glimpse into the other world, the real world, the eternal transcendental realm, the relationships of love, the emotions that are expressed, the movement of heart. Without a movement of heart, without a movement of emotion within our own consciousness, we can't really sustain in Krishna consciousness. On determination, we can go so far. On duty, we can go so far. On discipline, we can go so far. But ultimately, there has to be some rasa. There has to be some taste. And so I think by the mercy of our wonderful teachers, we've tasted some of that rasa. In my short presentation, I just try to share with you the feelings that some of us go through, that sometimes we just feel we're not moving forward. Sometimes we feel stuck. Sometimes we look back and we feel a little despondent, thinking that we didn't make so much progress. Sometimes we look around and we see everyone else feeling that they are striving, but not me. And so I just began in the seminar by trying to share with everyone that Krishna consciousness is transformative. And the first thing is we should appreciate and be peaceful and grateful that actually so much has transformed. So much has changed. We are very, very different to when we walked into the Hare Krishna temple on the first day. That's for sure. Sometimes we see how far we have yet to go, and we don't appreciate how far we've come. But until and unless we can appreciate how far we've come by the mercy of our teachers, by the mercy of the process, until we first appreciate the transformation that's happened, we don't get the hope and the enthusiasm to feel as though we can move forward to where we want to be. So I was trying to share this about transformation. I tried to share how the Bhagavatam is our constant companion on this journey of transformation. And if we really study closely the different characters, the different narrations, the different accounts that have been expertly placed within the Bhagavatam, then we will begin to see all the different triggers of transformation that caused different individuals to make the movement of heart towards Krishna. And so we began by discussing a couple of those, and perhaps in the future, maybe in the Bhakti retreat in Switzerland, we'll go and discuss more of those pastimes. But I just wanted to share this with you and for you to meditate on these triggers and meditate on these characters of the Bhagavatam, because when we in our life create a life in which these triggers are very much strategically set up, then we can very much speed up our process towards the purification of heart and the awakening of pure love for Krishna. So I hope that in future we'll be able to complete this and explore it further. These were some short thoughts that I wanted to share with all of you, and I'll pass on to His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj, and then we can continue on from there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesa Sunyavadi Paskatyare Satane Radha Madan Mana Ki Jai. In my contribution, I started by telling, repeating how Ramanujacharya gave us very practical hints how we can immerse our mind in Krishna. Basically, it is the seven qualities of Krishna, of which we heard about compassion. I also, like Keshava Maharaj, intend to present the rest of that part, the seven immersive
and expensive oceans of Krishna's qualities in the Bhakti retreat in Switzerland. Maybe in the future we will, Hari Prasad will land in that retreat with a helicopter directly from Mumbai. It's in the midst of the Alps. You need a helicopter to get there. No one can go by street, but if one comes from Mumbai, helicopter is better. Yes. And then the remaining sessions which I gave were based on narrating the holy Leela and trying to help you to enter the Leela by hearing something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by also I was reading from a work called Vrindavan Mahimamrita, where the Vrindavan, the playground of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, are glorified. Behind all this is a great idea, a revolutionary idea. To understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both philosophy and tattva is required, but also we need to hear about his pastimes, his qualities, his devotees, and how he interacts with his devotees, the Leela aspect. If we only have philosophy, in which our movement is very strong, we will have a distant God, someone who's far away from us. With Leela, where we hear the Lord interacting with devotees, we will think, oh yeah, I'm trying to be a devotee, the Lord will also interact with me. And that makes the distant God a close God. At the end of your spiritual journey, or for your spiritual journey, you need to have a close God. Prabhupada spoke about this. You can talk to Krishna. You can. He will hear you. He will answer. No? This type of information he has often given. But if we only discuss Krishna through the lens of philosophy, it will be a little bit abstract for us, a little bit distant. So therefore both is required. And in this particular immersion, Bhakti immersion retreat, the speakers are trying to bring Krishna close, either by, as Hari Prasad and myself did, talking about the pastimes, the descriptions of Rupa Goswami, etc., or as Keshava Maharaj did, telling us a process whereby which we can overcome our obstacles and move forward. It's about the close God. Not the closed God, the close, the near, the one who hears us and who answers us. Our deity, Radha Madan Mohan, is a deity who invites these types of reflections, because he is the one who establishes sambandha, or a relationship. There is a very nice pastime I would like to share with you in the briefest possible words. I see some of you have to leave. May you have a good journey. Have you taken your prasadam, travel prasadam? Good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Come back. No, not now. Now you need to first leave. Hare Krishna. Our devotees are so sympathetic, no? There was one elderly Vaishnavi who lived on the other side of the Yamuna. every day she used to come through the, please help me here, is it called fort, where you can cross through a river? Not a bridge, it's where the river is not so deep, it's a little high and you can walk, it's only knee deep. In German is Furt. Furt. Yeah, but this the
Untranslatable.
Yes. So it's a place where you can cross a river by foot. So she had one cow, and she would take a little milk from that cow. She would walk through the river, go to the Madan Mohan temple, and she, would deliver her milk to the kitchen, where it was served hot to Madan Mohan as a night drink. To, you know, in the night one drinks, he comes home from the pastures and he appreciates hot milk and sweet milk also. So this went on every night for several years, until one day the pujari, who had always cooked for the milk, heated the milk which the lady brought, was again taking her container and pouring the milk in the cooking pot, when he noticed that together with the milk a small little fish came in the pot. He immediately took the pot away from the fire, and it took him only seconds to calculate. This lady is so poor. Every day she goes through the Jamuna. What does she do in the Jamuna? She takes her container and she dilutes it with milk to make it more milk. But it is watered down milk, a severe sin in for the Vaishyas. They should never dilute the milk with water to increase the volume and make an unreasonable profit on it. And this time the lady had also done this. She had gone through the Jamuna, and when she diluted the milk, a little fish came in. And this fish I almost cooked, and I almost served Madan Mohan fish milk. I almost made him into a non-vegetarian. The pujari was so upset. He put the with the pot outside. The lady was waiting for her container. He poured the milk before the lady. See the fish, take your container, and never ever come back here. You will not be allowed. Don't even take darshan. You are a sinner, and I trusted you. Who knows, perhaps in the past when I was sleepy I had cooked a fish and served it to Madan Mohan. Go, get lost. Yet you will never get the mercy of the Lord. The lady was dumbstruck. Yes, she had diluted the water, but only a little bit. Now there was a fish inside. Oh no. She took her container. She went to her little hut. She took and she went into the bed and she fasted. She wanted to die. Without Madan Mohan, without that little service, her life was meaningless. She was a widow. She only had one cow. She lived to serve Madan Mohan. She was dumbstrucken. So after 3 days, there was a a knocking at her door. She had not eaten and not drunk for 3 days. Ma, ma. Maya means mother. I'm not here. Said, leave me alone. Please, I'm so hungry. So she had not washed herself. Her garments were soiled. She had just cried and slept and fainted. And she went to the door and saw a beautiful Brahmin boy whom he had never seen him in the area. You are here. Yes, I came here and I'm really hungry. Do you have something? No, I don't have anything. I have my cow, but I don't even remember if I milked her or not. I must have milked her. Yeah, is there some milk? Well, she looked and there was milk, but it was milk which had stood for some time. And in the morning, when she woke up, the boy was gone. A blanket was also gone. And where the boy had rested, there was a yellow pitambara. It's like, you know, a scarf which hangs on both sides of the body down. Ah. Mm. And she looked at the pitambara, the material. That's very good material. It's a silken material. And then she got the idea. My God. This was Madan Mohan himself. He wears such dress. He's there in the temple of Karoli, you know, that temple. And he forgot his chadar. And innocently she went with her chadar to the temple. It was early in the morning. The pujaris saw her and said with an angry face, "Have I not told you that you should never come back again? Why do you show your face here?" Well, I just came to deliver the chatter of Madan Mohan. Do you recognize this chatter? Yes, it is his chatter. Just wait here. And when he went and when he came back, his face was furious. He said, "You again? Do you recognize this blanket?" And he produced the old smelly blanket which the lady had used to cover herself and which had not been changed for these 3 days because she had not eaten. She was rested. "You rascal, you went in the night inside. Due to some craziness, you took the chadar off Madan Mohan and you gave him your dirty blanket. I will have to report this to the king. This is too much. This is the best of crime." No, not the best, the worstest of crime. Worstest of crime. The lady was, the pujari screamed and the people came and were holding the lady. The lady was crying and was saying, no one believed her explanation. In the night, the pujari had a dream. And in that, it was not really like a dream, it was like a spurti, a manifestation of the Lord who came to her. And the Lord said, "This lady has served me very nicely. It was me who put the fish in the milk. It was me who went to the lady and drank her milk when you stopped her from coming here. It was me who asked for the blanket, the old blanket. It was me who left my nice Pitambara there. Now you reinstall the lady. She should always bring her milk, even if she is poor and her cow stops giving milk. You must give her a cow, and she will milk that cow. It is my cow, and will give me the milk. Hare Krishna. There are endless stories like this in India. They are told from grandfather to grandchild. It's the stories in the territory, in the local area. They have some value. You will not find those in scripture. You will find them in the hearts of the bhaktas of that area who interact with the deity. The reason I tell you this story is he is the same Madan Mohan on the altar. Our Madan Mohan is very merciful. He's a close god, and we will understand him when we see him in his holy outfit. Do you appreciate today's outfit? And yesterday, how was he yesterday dressed?
Yes.
No, how? What? Bee. A bumblebee. Yes, a bumblebee, yes. And the day before? Holy with pots of liquid coming down. What? Yellow turban was there. Yes, a close god. A God who celebrates, a God who invites us to celebrate. We need that so that our heart is softened and that we offer voluntarily and enthusiastic service. We also need the philosophy. We also need the tattva, and that also our Hari Parshad in his class did. But this is the idea of the Bhakti Immersion Retreat. We want to also bring that to the foreground so that devotees will be strengthened in heart, that their faith will grow, so that they can offer voluntary and enthusiastic service. And please, the Bhakti Retreat is not only the speakers. It is a chemistry between you, the speakers, and you, and you and the speakers, back and forth. And therefore, I request all of you to kindly mark this date, Eastern Bhakti Immersion Retreat. Come there and spread the good news. And even if devotees cannot come, they can see on the internet. It is on the internet.
YouTube.
So it is there available, because this is a good, this our movement needs that. Our devotees need this. Otherwise they will go outside the movement and take it there, because a hungry man will even will leave his house even if he thinks he can eat, find food somewhere else. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'm already feeling some sadness, because very soon, you know, we'll be leaving. And see, besides me, both personalities are Maharajis. They will travel and they will find devotee association. You have to think about this poor Grihastha here, dear devotee. Who has to return back to Mumbai and continue with his boring job throughout the year. So, it's not that the speakers are always in ecstasy in their day-to-day life, and we speakers also derive inspiration when like-minded audience comes in front of us. Otherwise, at home we are doing the same monotonous things that bring boredom to life. And when I'll return home to Mumbai, and then, you know, when life starts taking its toll again on me, and then when I have to pay the bills, and when there are so many problems, and then I'll think, where is Keshav Maharaj's advice when I need it the most? Maharaj, I have this practical problem. So that is the time when I'll miss Keshav Maharaj the most. And I agree that the feeling is mutual, dear devotees. We'll all miss him, you know, when we are struggling the most in our day-to-day lives. I also wish I could, you know, steal something from Keshav Maharaj. I wanted to steal his voice. I don't like to hear myself recorded, you know. I know how I sound. So, I wish I could have the voice of Keshav Maharaj. And I know it's a desire that cannot be fulfilled in this life. So, you know, I have to tolerate with my own voice. But I'll always wait for Easter next year so that I can get to hear him in person. Also, when I met His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, the first time was in 2012. It was Govardhan retreat, and Maharaj was in Govardhan, and it was he who caught me. So I was not expecting, because, you know, I used to keep respectful distance. We are supposed to pay obeisances. And so Maharaj called me and said, "You are Hari Parshad?" I said, "Yes." "Have you built your tree house?" So I am Indian, I don't know what. We don't build any tree house in India. So, in India, only birds build houses on the tree. So I was not knowing what is a tree house. Then Maharaj explained to me what is a tree house. He said, "Every German boy must have a tree house." That is what he said to me, I remember. And then in that tree house, there is a lock to the door, and only that boy and a few selected friends are allowed in the tree house. Then I understood, acha, this is what a tree house is. And the meaning of his statement was that you should have a particular time of the day when there's nothing else disturbing you, and you are with your Ishtadev, your Gurujanas, and that is the time when you're performing your japa. And I was immediately, you know, really immensely impacted by his statement. Although Maharaj is born in a different country, but when I see him, I am always reminded of my grandfather. You know, he's very much you know, a personality who is very affectionate, you know, just like a grandfather is. A father is usually strict, but I don't see any strictness in my, I don't, the disciples might have seen. But assuming that there is some strictness in him, I don't think it must be so strict. I mean, it must be tolerable. But his strictness also appears to be very sweet. And for me, whenever I think of him, you know, I always am reminded of a grandfather-like figure who is very carefully taking care of each and every need that I have in my spiritual life, for which I am very, very thankful to Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj. So I am also unhappy. I am going to my home and all of you will go to your home. Dear devotees, previously when people used to go to Vrindavan, it was a different thing, and nowadays it is completely different. Today if I want to go to Vrindavan from here, I just go to Frankfurt Airport, take a flight to Delhi, and in 3 hours from Delhi I will be in Vrindavan, 3 or 4 hours. What happens is that the body suddenly shifts to Vrindavan, but the mind still remains in Germany. Previously, devotees would walk to Vrindavan, Ishwarpuri. And when you walk to Vrindavan, what happens is that the mind reaches 1 week before the body. But when you fly to Vrindavan, the body reaches 1 week before the mind. And by the time the mind has reached, the body has already come back to Germany. So that is why I feel retreats like this are very important, because even if you come back from Vrindavan, you still have a replica of Goloka Vrindavan here, where wonderful retreats can be organized. And I'm promising you, dear devotees, even when you go back from here, the lingering feeling of sweetness from all the speakers will continue for 1 week. Because the mind will still remain in Goloka Dham. So technically you're not leaving today. Technically there's still 1 week to go. But as it is said, Girau Mayura Gagane Payoda Lakshantarer Kascha Jaleshu Padmam Indur Dvilakshe Kumudasya Bandur Yo Yasya Mitram Nahitasya Duram. The dark clouds are in the sky far away, but its dearmost friend, the peacock, is at a great distance on the mountains, but still the peacock becomes very happy on seeing the dark clouds. The sun is far away, a million miles away according to Shastra. But its friend, the lotus in the lake, becomes happy immediately on seeing the sun. The moon is even further away, 2 million miles according to Shastra. But its friend, the night lily, becomes happy on seeing the moon. Actually, true friends are never far away from each other, dear devotees. So I made many close friends here in this particular retreat, and although I'll be situated at a physical distance from them, truly I'll never be far away from them. And in the Padyavali there is a very nice verse, Sangama viraha vikalpe varamiha viraho na sangamastasya sange saiva tathaika tribhuvanam apitan mayam virahe. Sangam viraha vikalpe, between union and separation. Varamiha viraho, I prefer separation, na sangamas, I don't prefer union so much. Because in union, the person I love is in only one place, and in separation, the entire universe is filled with that person, dear devotees. So when we return back from Golokadham to our homes, this lingering feeling of the memories that we had in Golokadham, the reminiscence of the experience will stay with us. And this reminiscence, even if it brings tears to our eyes, even if we feel separation, still it will inspire us to make the journey next year, so that we can again meet for the next Easter retreat. And I would just like to say, whatever inspiration was given by all the speakers, Sri Narottam Das Thakur's concise instruction to all the sadhakas is sadhana smarana lila ihatena kara hela, that please do not neglect two things: your daily sadhan bhakti and your smaran, your remembrance of Sri Krishna. So dear devotees, even if casual smaran, something which we can think of casually, sitting at a particular place, whatever is easily possible, if we can try to remember something that we heard here or something else related to Krishna Leela that we have read or heard, if we can remember it only for a few minutes every day, it doesn't have to be concentrated meditation, just level one, then I think we have made some progress in the retreat. The name of the retreat is Bhakti Immersion, and if we manage to immerse ourselves even a little bit for a few minutes every day favorably, then I think the purpose of the retreat will be achieved. So I'm very thankful once again. Keshav Maharaj spoke many words of encouragement and glorification. His words were pure-hearted. Maharaj also spoke many words of glorification and encouragement. His words were pure-hearted. I offer those pure-hearted words to the pure lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara, just as the pure Ganga is offered to the Ganga herself. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now, besides question and answers, can we have reflections also? I like this, or only Q&A?
Yeah, yes. It is a good idea. It's a good idea. Hari Prasad Parshad has just offered one very nice suggestion, and that is that we share reflections. I do know from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj that at the end of his katha, he has sometimes offered a practice called Anumodan, where those who were there at the katha single out what they appreciated and share it with others. And then this way, we learn more. I overlooked that, but now where you tell me, yes, that was also there. We do in our little ashram, whenever we come from an event, we always do this on the way back, that every one of us shares what struck them and what they can learn from it. And by sharing this, we all go a level deeper than our own unaided observation. No, we see through the eyes of another and appreciate through their minds. So how should we do this? Should we, there are two ways, Hari Prasad, it was your suggestion, would you ask our participants to share it with the entire group, or should they go amongst themselves and build teams?
I think you know, my suggestion is that devotees can raise their hands and then they can say, I have a question or I have a reflection.
Acha. Good.
Whatever, and then they can speak.
Yes.
And if there is a question, then they can also specify if it's a general question towards all the speakers or specific towards somebody.
Let us do that. So, you understood, no? So, anyone has a question or a reflection or both. And please, because we want many others, not that you go finally and give a half hour reflection, no, brief and concise. Hare Krishna. Yes, here is our Purnamasi.
I had a question addressed to Hari Parshad Prabhu from yesterday. So I had the time to think about it, and I wrote it down, so I will just read it. So maybe connected with your presentation today, Maharaj, which you said two ways of bhakti, one with the senses and one with the inner bhava. And then you spoke about going to Vrindavan by foot, how we are there before the actual body comes. And I have, I felt like connecting to the question, we all need deeper insights while trying to execute devotional service. So what it means for you to go deep? The example of your translations of Sri Harishori's work, Rasayanam, when we would read the plain translation, we would not understand the hidden meaning. As in the verse you presented, Kesha Mukta Guna Mukto, there is no mention of Brahma and Shiva. In Sri Harishori's translation or the gopis' condemnation of the wives of Sri Krishna not to be able to return to their homes. If I understand correctly, this is your endeavor and your work. So what is the process of your immersion and enfatizement in the time? And what is your prayer to be guided by Sri Krishna?
Please, if you can think, we can learn from this. So, I'll try to first understand if I got the question correct. What is my process of immersing myself in this particular? Because this Cheshta Roop and Bhava Roop that Maharaj had spoken, it is originally from Sri Jiva Goswami's commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's on the verse Anyabhilashita Shunyam. And Cheshta Roop means activities that require movement of the physical senses. Those are called as Cheshta Roop. Any bhakti activity which requires movement of any physical sense organ. And Bhava Roop is activities which can happen without movement of any physical organs. That bhakti which takes place, it is called Bhava Roop. So Maharaj was emphasizing that it is not only Cheshta Roopa Bhakti that we need to perform, but also Bhava Roopa Bhakti, because ultimately the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it is also indicating Bhava Roopa Bhakti. What is the process for immersing yourself into this particular? Like Maharaj had given me a very brilliant suggestion, I should make my tree house. I took it seriously. It's difficult to make a tree house in India, let me tell you, because there are so many people around you all the time. And somebody or else is always trying to take your time. So it's difficult to find that particular slot of time. But when I do find that time, usually at night, I'll be honest. When I do find that time, that is the time when just directly head first dive into the writings of the previous acharyas. And Padyavali has a Sanskrit commentary by Sri Veerachandra Goswami, which explains some things about what the verse is, how it came about. But Sri Harishuri's no commentary is there. But by looking at the style of his poetry, it was very clear that it was very cryptic and difficult in the beginning, because he has hidden more than one meanings in many of the terms. So he wants the reader to deliberately meditate again and again on the verse. So he is that type of a teacher. he will not let you go easily. He'll make you work hard. And then when you finally get it, then you have the reward. And you know, this is your reward for. And then that meditation, it continues for many days. Kesha mukta guna mukto nadbhutam suratotsave chitram mukta api mukta, you know. So when he is repeating these words, I understand he doesn't repeat uselessly. There's a reason why he is repeating these words. So every day, direct consumption of the literature of Sri Rupa, Sri Raghunath, who are the primary associates of the army of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada also said this, there's a prayer by Narottam Das, Rupa Raghunath Pade Haibe Akuti Tabe Hama Bujabase Yugala Piriti. So the usual meaning of Pade is feet, but Pada also has meaning poetry. So Rupa Raghunath Pade, as long as I have attachment to the poetry of Rupa and Raghunath, till that time I will be immersed always in the transcendental world of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And then we need to balance it with some philosophy. So then sometimes, you know, you can read something. I read something from Srila Prabhupada or Srila Jiva Goswami and then balance it out like that. But never miss out on the sweet aspect, because life can get very dry very quickly. And we have this tendency of rubbing our heart with a sandpaper. Yeah, philosophy, philosophy. You're not the body, you're the soul. Material world is miserable. And rubbing your heart with a sandpaper. And then the heart gradually dries out and is unable to relish bhakti ras. So every day nourishing the seed means to dive directly into the writings of the previous Acharya, Six Goswami. It's a practice which I perform daily without any fail. And a verse should always be there on our mind. Some unsolved mystery should always be there on the mind. Why did Sri Arishuri say this? I have not understood. And let it consume your days and nights. Why did Rupa Goswami say this? I have not understood. So let it consume your days and nights. And that's it. Basically, you know, that is what is needed. So to become a drunkard, start drinking little, then gradually. I hope that answers your query. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Let us continue with questions or reflections. And please remember, in reflections, we have a tendency to go very long. Have the benefit of the whole program in mind. Hare Krishna. Yes, your good name, please?
Subak.
Subak, yes.
Hare Krishna. I have just a very brief reflection. So, when I was thinking to myself, what I get from this retreat, I definitely shared the observation of Sachinandan Swami, who said that Hari Parsad Prabhu and yourself alike focus on Lila, and Keshav Swami on the practical application of philosophy. And I just thought to myself that's such a beautiful balance, and how both things are needed to make our Krishna consciousness juicy and full. That's definitely for my case. And with the verses, after hearing all the seminars, there are just two verses that came to my mind immediately into my heart, and they are from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm gonna quote the Bengali, but one verse says that just a brief moment of association with a sadhu can give all perfection, and the second one is that the root cause of bhakti is sadhu sangha. You can take it however you like. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Wonderful. Well spoken. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me see. I see our Nikunja. Please say your full name. Yes. Nikunja Vasani.
Hare Krishna. my reflection, my realization was, I followed your good example of going for a japa walk up the hill. And the hill looks very much like the backdrop today on the altar. It's actually the river and the mountains and that spring colors that are there now. And while I was chanting, it was so easy, because chanting usually needs concentration. You have to hear, you have to chant. And this time, because I was immersed with the pastimes, I just heard from Rupa Goswami, and it became so personal that it was easy to just, I was actually addressing Radha and Krishna instead of, you know, meditating on the holy name. So that was my experience that I would like to take home to Radha Gopinath, and then that good advice of reading, because I have, think I've been rubbing the heart too much with the philosophy and restraining myself or entering into the pastime. So this was a very encouraging experience for me.
Yes, we see Manjulamani.
I actually have a question, and it goes back to the two previous festivals. There's such an anonymous one, he was telling a story how Prabhupada asked a devotee, what do you see in the corner? Mm-hmm. And the devotee said, I don't see anything. And Srila Prabhupada said, when I look at the corner, I see dust. So therefore, because I see the dust, I will clean. So this was the story. So my question is, sometimes we see things, but if we completely act on it, we may be out of the line of our duty. And then now Keshava Maharaj was saying how there are two verses in Bhagavad Gita which is repeated twice. And one of it is that you should be on the path of your own duty. And even if you can perform the duty of somebody else better, it's not proper. So if you can connect these two things about seeing the dust and then acting on it, it may not even be like my dust, you know? So how to find the balance between performing your own duty but still see the things that needed to be done?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Maharshi. We have one devotee, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, at the manor. So he was at his initiation ceremony with Srila Prabhupada. So he stepped up, he said his vows, and then Srila Prabhupada gave him the beads, and he said, your name is Kishore Das. So everyone, you know, the drums and everything. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, Kishore means Krishna, who is youthful, who goes into the forests of Vrindavan and under the moonlit skies when all the fragrant breeze is going, that Kishore Krishna, he dances all night with the gopis. And then he looked at Prabhuji and he said, but remember, you are Kishore Das. You are the servant. And then he said later on, Srila Prabhupada was stressing to him that the most important part of our name is that we're a servant. So the most important identity of a devotee is the identity to be a servant. In every situation, the devotee is always asking themselves the question, how can I serve in this situation? Sometimes people say, it's so difficult to be humble. But actually, to be humble just means that in every situation, you're asking yourself, how can I be a servant in this situation? If you're the speaker, then you're meditating, how can I serve the audience? If you're in charge of a service, then you're thinking, how can I serve everyone else who's participating in this to give the best of themselves? If someone in the community is going through difficulty, then you think, how can I serve and help that person to become better situated in their life. And in this way, when the basic identity which pervades our heart is to always be a servant and to see how we can aid the situation to make it better, more pleasing to Krishna, then we become situated in our constitutional identity. And so yesterday I was mentioning, yes, we should be in our dharma. We should do what is what Krishna has given us unique abilities and talents for. But at the same time, we should be ready to also act outside of that dharma if Krishna desires us to, if there's a need, if it's the call of the day. And so while acting in our dharma, we should realize the highest principle is to be a servant. There's a beautiful verse in the third canto, Neha yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtapada sevaya jivanapi mitohisaha. So Kapila Dev says to Devahuti, all of your karma should lead you to dharma. But all of your dharma should ultimately lead you to vairagya. But all of your vairagya should ultimately lead you to tirthapada seva, the service of the Supreme Lord. So everything that we do, and Kapila Dev says, jivanapi mritohi saha, if you get stuck somewhere along that chain and you don't arrive at seva, then basically you are living but you're dead. Jivanapi mritohi saha. So life means, for a devotee, there's without service, there's no life, there's no meaning. And therefore, in every situation, we should always feel, how can I serve? And for that, sometimes we also come out of our dharma. This is some thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Is there? Yes, Prabhu. I will give the microphone to Hari Parshad. Please allow me. I will just come back from the
Hare Krishna Prabhu. There was a part of the lecture where you were both talking about control. It was this analogy with that life was like a game of football, and that we are not the player but the football itself. I'm at this age now where I'm trying to figure out what to do in my life, and I'm trying to figure it one thing out by the another, and there are so many things that I'm trying to get control over. But what I admire when I look at all of you is how free you seem. And I was wondering, what advice would you give to me? Like, what things can I control, like generally, and what others is it better to just let go of? Thank you, Prabhu.
So let me just see if I understood your question correctly. You're in a situation in your life where you have to make decisions, where you have to move forward and decide what kind of life you want to build for yourself. And there's a tendency within you to want to control. Is that? So how to let go?
Yes, and maybe what to control and what not in general.
Okay, yeah. So someone had, I think, asked a similar question. See, there's only one thing factually that we can control in this world. Right. We have an idea, we have a hope that we'll be able to control many things in this world. But there's factually only one thing that you have control over. And what is that?
Yourself?
Yeah, your own free will, your own effort, your own endeavor, your own intention, your own desires. This is factually the only thing that you can control. And so what Krishna is basically explaining to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is that the most important thing is to just control your own free will, control your desires, control your effort, put the emphasis on doing the best you can. And once you've done the best you can, then see in what way Krishna's hand moves your life. We have to constantly be flexible. We have an idea of how we think our life is going to go, but Krishna may have a different plan. Sometimes they say, if you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. So the idea is that we have to put a plan in front of Krishna. You got to give Krishna something to work with. So therefore we say, Krishna, with all the free will that you've given me through my desires guided by knowledge, taking the guidance of wise people around me, Krishna, I'm putting this plan in front of you and I'm trying my best. And once you've done that, then you have to step back. And then you have to see, what does Krishna want to do with this? And you know, sometimes Krishna may take it in the direction you planned. And sometimes Krishna may take it in a very different direction. And sometimes when Krishna takes it in a different direction, we lament. But ultimately, Krishna is taking it in that direction because ultimately it will be for our benefit. There's one Christian lady saint, Saint Teresa of Avila, and she said more tears were shed from prayers that were answered than from prayers that were unanswered. Because sometimes we have a plan, we have a desire, we have a hope, we have an aspiration, and we pray to Krishna, give me a house by the sea, a color TV, and whatever else. And then it just gets us into more trouble. And so sometimes Krishna may foil your plans. Krishna may change the plans. And the hallmark of a real spiritualist is they have the flexibility to move with that without any sense of frustration, bitterness, or negativity. So try your best. They say work as though everything depends on you, and then eventually let everything go, knowing that it depends on God. Like that. So that's the balance. Does that help?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah. I don't know, Hari Parshad Prabhu, if you want to add anything.
I think you've answered it very well.
So, Hari, thank you. He encouraged me. He came and he said, Paramananda, you would not like to share something. And I said, I'm so shy. but I really wish to thank all three of you, because we all come from a life which is intense in its own way. And you have really created an ocean of bhakti, tattva, and rasa for us. And I felt I was able to swim in that ocean and immerse myself. And I've spoken to many devotees who are present here. The same happened for them. So thank you for that. And thank you for opening many windows so we can look into the spiritual world. And thank you also for encouraging us to deepen our sadhana by your presentations, because many of these topics which you have addressed are some things that we think about, we wish to practice, but maybe we don't feel so free to practice. For instance, Hari Parshad Prabhu, when you said we should paint those verses as a picture on the canvas of our heart, so I will not forget this, and you really, really encouraged me very much. And many other devotees. And also the example of the treehouse, thank you for bringing this up, because yes, we know that Sachinama Maharaj always brings this point that you need to take some time for ourselves, but this is now a very good vivid example, I mean for a personal relationship with Krishna. And Kesha Maharaj, thank you for always, classes are always so well prepared and researched and just brilliant. And you really love to reflect about them a lot. And yeah, you really have created an amazing ocean. So we could all bathe, and I just hope I can give back in some way or the other to all three of you. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Vaidyajanti, sit there. Our not totally unsung hero, but it was her who had this idea of the decoration. And also, who painted this Vrindavan forest?
This was a decoration maybe already 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Got it out again, the forest. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I want to take the opportunity to thank you. And from my side, like Balmandi, I really appreciate I took some pictures, and I really hope that to go back to them. I still have some pictures from last year of the Bhakti feedback I have all year, and especially this year, one of the pictures that I like very much is when the Holi Festival, it's almost starting and Krishna is walking, and but because Radhani starts to sing, Srinda Devi is also there playing Vilanga and all the gopis, and Krishna is almost fainting, and the Kamal tree is coming out. So I really appreciate those pictures, and I have still something from the lectures of Haripashar Prabhu where you were saying about that. Is it bhakti? Is it possible for when there is over renunciation, when we are asked to understand? While at the same time, I was reminded of when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami to do not eat sumptuously, no dress, and when I think of the renunciation of the Goswamis. So yeah, I don't know if you can harmonize, but we need to understand the
Sure. But thank you so much, Mother Vaijayanti, for the kind reflection. You see, these verses are paintings, you said. And what I was saying to Purnamasi Mataji, I'd like to continue that and also answer what you are saying. Have you seen a cow eat grass? There is a particular process by which a cow eats grass. Does anybody know how? It doesn't just directly eat it. It stores it, and then afterwards it brings it back out, and then it chews it. So first it consumes it, but doesn't fully chew it. Then later, when it is relaxing, it brings out the unchewed, then it chews upon it, and then finally digests it. So in my village, I was shown by my grandfather, this is how a cow eats. This is how paintings are made. First you memorize the verse, then when you are sitting alone, then you start chewing on the words one by one. And then you draw a painting for each and every word. Each and every word contributes to the painting. And finally, when you have fully chewed all the words, then you have the painting fully digested. That is usually the process. Now, you are coming to your question. Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, Bhala na khaibe, bhala na paribe. These are the instructions. These instructions are given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And yes, this is Antya 6.236. It is actually to Raghunath Das Goswami. Balana khaibe or balana paribe. And the translation is, you should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. This is an ideal spiritual master, because the spiritual master knows the position of the disciple. And according to the position of the disciple, the spiritual master has given a tailor-made solution. Let's go back a few years. same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Said to, this is statement to Raghunath Das Goswami, and Mataji, you can read the statement. You please read the translation. You have the mic? Yes.
You should not make yourself a show-bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it.
Can you imagine a spiritual master telling the disciple, for the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way, which means which doesn't go against the principles of Vaishnavism, but do not become attached to it. Often the latter instruction is highlighted. Don't eat nicely, don't dress nicely. Who will highlight this instruction? This was the first instruction given to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. This was the beginning point. That was not the beginning point. That was the end point where Raghunath Das Goswami finally reached in a very organic, natural manner. Many times devotees are not given this instruction. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way, but do not become attached to it. And because the devotees are not given this particular instruction sometimes, and they are directly given an instruction for which they are not ready right now, that is what creates some sort of a vacuum. And maybe they later do become renounced, but it comes at the cost of scraping your heart with the sandpaper, as I said. So that is what needs to be re-evaluated. So an ideal spiritual master, Shiksha or Diksha Guru, they give a tailor-made solution according to the needs of the disciple at the present moment. So this instruction should go with that instruction. Depending on the situation of the disciple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a perfect instruction to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. So I hope that answers your query. Thank you. Anything to add, Maharaj?
No, it's very fine, very nice explained. Yes, Gaurasi Gaurahari. By the way, Gaurahari, your announcements are also very, very an essential part. They add a poetic flavor.
For me, it was a very beautiful experience, this retreat, but I think also very much humbling, because I noticed actually how much space I have to progress and how much realm of Krishna consciousness out there unexplored. But sometimes I also notice my lack of taste and my shortcomings, so it was actually very steering. And one thing I really kept is what Maharaj you brought in, this beautiful quotation about questions, that if the person do not have really the question, the answer will not really be reached. And I noticed how it was nice that we had so many question answer, but I noticed yesterday during the break, many devotees were approaching one of the three of you and asking a question here, a question there, and I also got so many questions coming up. I thought that's such a beautiful dynamism, and that shows a healthy moving in Krishna consciousness when we have this mood of inquiring. So that's something I will keep with me, and I'm very grateful. And I think we all feel, I'm sure many of us feel this mood of being humbled, and also the need of blessings. And for sure, many blessings were there in your lectures, but maybe we still need a little bit more if you can all pray for us.
Yes, Mataji. I just want to say, because I notice a certain fluctuation, which is natural because you have to go home. I suggest, just so that you all know and are not peaceful, we go up till 1 o'clock and so on, so we can all stay up to that time, then we conclude and then we go. Yes. Yes, please.
In spite of your old age, you organized such a beautiful retreat to inculcate the bhakti in us. And every time when we come here, you always try to give your best so that we can grow more and more in our bhakti. You always organize a beautiful retreat. In December, you organize Sangh Mela and always elevate so beautiful leelas to us so that we can also get the mercy of Sri Radha Madan Mohan. And I was thinking, or I was praying to Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, that you may you live long for a long time, so that we can get this mercy every year. And when I see Krishna Swami Maharaj, and I was impressed with your humbleness and your presentations and your skills to give the answers impress our youth. And I feel personally that our young generation needs such a leader like you.
Yes.
And Hari Parshad Prabhuji, well, I have heard a lot about you, but never met personally. And this time we meet you, and after seeing your presentation, I felt that I was not here. It took time to come here again, and thank you so much.
You mean I put you to sleep? My presentations are a good cure for insomnia.
Your presentations actually bring me more closer to Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much. And I would also say to all of thank you to all devotees, because I was very impressed when I see all the devotees. They know, they were curious to know about the new things, and I feel many devotees know much, but they are very eager to know more and more. And I have also some doubts, but were not able to make my questions. And when the devotees ask the question, I automatically get my answer. So thank you very much.
The Vishwadev, yes, Vishwadev.
Just to make it short, is the reflection what comes actually not from me. I heard from the devotees from the last days, and I like very much, who compares you three as the three spiritual musketeers. I don't know what you mean. It's obvious who is the spiritual D'Artagnan.
You know, musketeers?
You are fighting the last days against the material nature for us, so please stay together, fight for us together. Thank you very much.
You know, most of you do. It's some night. Maybe you're right.